Matthew chapter 14. So let me give you a quick introduction before we get started reading here. The followers of John the Baptist had just buried his headless body and told Jesus how he'd been killed by Herod. That's the setting. Things don't look good. They've followed John the Baptist. They got to a point where John the Baptist, even from his jail cell or dungeon, sent his disciples to Jesus and said, are you the one, or do we need to look for another one? Are you the Messiah? Jesus responded. They went back and told John. And a little bit later, at the beginning of Matthew chapter 14, we see how John died because he was willing to stand for truth. We preached that a couple weeks ago. At the same time, Jesus' disciples had just returned from preaching and teaching in the surrounding villages. If you remember, he had sent them out. He said, I want you to go out. I want you to go into these villages. He gave them some instructions, gave them some commands. So all this is happening at the same time. John the Baptist has just died. His disciples, his followers have come and told Jesus. Jesus' disciples are just now returning from preaching and teaching in the surrounding villages. And Jesus, throughout all this, has been healing people. The disciples' lives really had been calm compared to the schedule that Jesus was keeping. You're in Matthew chapter 14, but let me read something to you from Mark chapter 6. If you want to look there, just hold your place in Matthew 14. Verse number 30, it's the same story, but it's just a little bit of a, it's a different perspective. It's from the Gospel of Mark. Mark 6:30 tells what's been going on. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. They were so busy. They'd been serving and serving and serving, and people just kept wanting more and wanting more. And so Jesus said, look, all this happened with John. You guys have been so busy. I have been so busy. Let's go to a place you need some rest. Let's go to a desert place. And when they get there, their definition of desert is a little bit different than ours. There's grass there in the desert that they're going to. The place that they're going to is just an empty place. It's a deserted place. It's a place where there's not a whole bunch of people. They're trying to get away from people. They need a vacation. They need to get away for just a little while. The Bible says there were many coming and going. They had no leisure so much as to eat. They couldn't even stop and eat. They were so busy. So Jesus took his disciples away to rest for a while. Go back to Matthew chapter 14, and you get the beginning of the story. Verse number 13, they take a ship, they get in the boat to get away from the crowds. Look at verse number 13, Matthew chapter 14, verse number 13. When Jesus heard of it, talking about the death of John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. So Jesus said, let's get away for a little while. You guys are worn out. You haven't even had a chance to stop and eat. It's been so very busy. You're exhausted. Let's get away for just a little while. They get in a ship. They go out on the Sea of Galilee. They go to get to a different place where people don't know where they are, but the people follow them. I don't know if they could see the boat in the distance and they followed them, or they just guessed. However it happened, the people went out because they wanted to continue to be healed. They wanted Jesus to keep healing them. In fact, they were so desperate for healing that they went ahead of where Jesus was, or where they thought he was going. I believe some of them guessed right, and they were waiting for Jesus on the shore. Look at verse number 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Jesus and his disciples wanted to get away for a time of rest, but they couldn't get away. Even though they took the ship to this desert place, people were waiting for them. And Jesus spent the rest of the day healing people. He had compassion on them, and he healed them. The disciples were exhausted. They were exhausted before they left for vacation. But now they're on vacation, or I'm calling it vacation. They're getting away for just a little while. And while they're on this getaway, the people found them. And the people are coming to Jesus again. And there, it's towards the end of the day. The people have followed them. They've been working. They've been healing. They're supposed to be on vacation, but they're doing crowd control. And they're exhausted. When dinner time came, the disciples told Jesus to stop healing people and send them away. It's the end of the day. It's getting late. These people, well, I'll just let you read it. It's in verse number 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves." Now we come to a problem. If you're from the south, you call this victuals. I'm just going to call it victuals. I actually looked it up on dictionary.com and I had it pronounce it for me, and it's pronounced victuals. All right? So this is a desert place. There's no town around. There's no place for them to buy food. And the time is now past. It's getting late. Send them away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. They need to go find something to eat. Let them get to the villages. Let them go. They've got to get something to eat. But Jesus didn't want to send them away. Jesus knew the people had real needs. And Jesus wanted to fill their needs. Jesus wanted to help them. Look what he says to the disciples in verse number 16. "But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat." Wait a minute. This is impossible. The disciples didn't even have enough food to eat dinner themselves. Philip said, if you were to compare the different Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by the way, this miracle is in all four of the Gospels, so if you were to go through and compare the Gospels, you realize Jesus said, they need not depart. That won't be necessary. You feed them. You give them to eat. The disciples, can you just imagine them looking around? They'd gotten on the ship with Jesus. They'd left where they were. They're trying to get away. They didn't have enough even for themselves to eat dinner. And Jesus is telling the disciples, feed this multitude. We understand that there's about 5,000 men here, not including the women and children. The Bible calls it the 5,000 over and over. Whether there's women and children there or not, they're supposed to feed 5,000 people, and they didn't even bring enough food for their own dinners. But Jesus said, you give them to eat. I don't know what the disciples were thinking in all of their hearts, but I know what I would have thought at that point. We can't do that. This is impossible. Okay, so I know he's healing people and he's amazing, but there's not even food here for us. And he wants us to feed them. It's not that he told them, share your food with them. They just didn't even have any food. How are we supposed to feed these people if we don't even have food to eat? Philip said, even if we had 200, he used the word pennyworth. If you look up what a penny was, people would work a day for a penny. Even if we had 200 days worth of wages, it wouldn't be enough to feed all these people. Some of you have had weddings and you've had banquets and you've tried to feed people. These are expensive things. Is anybody here ever paid for, well, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass you, but Brother Reed, it's like, yes. For 5,000 people to eat, that's a lot of food. I can't imagine. Philip says, if we have 200 days worth of wages, 200 penny worth, we still couldn't feed all of these people. We'd run out of money. And besides, there's not even any place to buy this food. There's thousands of people. I can just picture him thinking, if we had 1,000 loaves of bread, it wouldn't be enough to feed them. Then Andrew comes up and he says, we've been asking around and we found a kid that has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, and that's it. That's what we've got. Jesus, you want us to feed. I don't think they had all of this conversation, but I can just imagine what they're thinking in their mind. Jesus, you want us to feed this 5,000? There's got to be thousands of people. You want us to feed 5,000 people? And all we can find between all of us is 5 barley loaves and 2, not just fish, 2 small fish. And you want us to feed all these people with all of this? Jesus said, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. After the disciples finished making excuses, and after the disciples realized that Jesus was serious about feeding the multitude, he speaks again. Look at verse number 16. Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did, look at this next word, all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. This is incredible. All we have is five loaves of bread. Jesus prays over it. He blesses it. And he starts to break the bread. Now, I don't know all the details. I don't know where they got the baskets. I don't know if all the baskets were the same size. I don't know a whole lot about the baskets, but Jesus starts breaking this bread. Five loaves of bread. There's 12 disciples, 12 apostles here. And he begins breaking the bread into all of the baskets. I would have loved to see that. Wouldn't that just be the most amazing thing to see? How did he fill up the first 12 baskets? Then he fills up, I don't know if they're big baskets, like a laundry basket, or if they're little baskets, like an offering basket. Maybe we need to switch up baskets. That's what we need to do. And that's the problem with our offerings. We just need a bigger basket. I don't know what the baskets were, but he broke a piece of bread and put it in, broke it, and he just kept breaking it. And he's creating food as he goes. I don't even want to think about how he broke up the fish. But he takes the bread, he takes the fish, tells the people to sit down, and 5,000 people eat. They all eat. And the Bible says they are all filled. And then they go back, and Jesus said, look, I don't want anything left. I'm not exactly sure the reason for that, but that's what he said. He said, so take these baskets and gather up all that remain. Everybody, 5,000 people ate five loaves of bread and two small fishes. They ate all of that, and they had leftovers, 12 baskets full. I heard one preacher say, well, there's the reward for following Jesus. Each one of those disciples ended up with their own basket of bread and fish. You can look at it that way, but they had 12 baskets full. This is an amazing story. Now, I'm not trying to convince you that the story is true, but I want to use that story to help you understand a truth. There were people who needed Jesus. There's three groups of people in this story, and I want you to realize the first one, there were people who needed Jesus. They needed him more than they realized. They needed him to heal their sick child. They needed him to heal their blind father. They needed him to heal their crippled uncle. And so that's why they followed him, because they knew that they needed that, but they needed more. After they'd been away from home for at least a day, they needed food. They didn't bring their own food. I don't think they expected Jesus to miraculously feed them. He hadn't done that before. And he was just, they needed healing, so they followed Jesus. But in the process of following him, they needed more. They needed food. They needed healing and they needed food, but they even needed more than that. They needed a king. In John, I believe it's John chapter 6, after Jesus feeds this multitude, Jesus goes away because the Bible says he realized that they wanted to make him a king. They needed a king. They didn't have a king. They didn't have a ruler. And so they needed more than just food, more than just healing. They needed a king. In fact, after Jesus fed them, they wanted to take him by force and make him their king. They saw in Jesus a king. Think about this. A king that could heal their diseases and their handicaps. And a king that could feed them when they were hungry. The only thing better would be a king that would live forever and make them live forever. They just had no idea who Jesus was. They thought he was the prophet that the Old Testament writers had promised. Maybe he was Elijah. Can you imagine a presidential candidate running for office that could provide not only health care, but healing? He'd probably get the votes. He could provide not only food programs, but the food itself. Can you imagine somebody running? They'd probably become president. I'll heal you of all your diseases, and I'll feed you whenever you're hungry. And that's what they were looking at when they saw Jesus. They saw him. Now, that's not why Jesus came, but they saw him, and they thought, you know, we need a king like that. We need this man. So they were going to take him by force to be king. They needed healing. They needed food. They needed a king, but they needed more. They didn't realize it, but they needed a savior. The healing could restore their body, but their body would start falling apart again as soon as they were healed. Isn't that just good news? Isn't that just like the most encouraging thing you heard since you got to church this morning? From the moment we're born, we start dying. You know, encouraging things like that. You've got the amazing story of Naaman in the Old Testament, and he was a leper, and he came to Elisha, and he was healed, and instantly Elisha, his leprosy was gone, and he was healed. But right after that, his body started doing the thing that bodies do, right? And just started falling apart. And I don't know why I chose falling apart, but that pretty much describes it. Things stopped working, joints started squeaking, or whatever it was. After these people were healed, they would eventually die. Every one of these people that Jesus healed, I mean, even Lazarus, the one that Jesus raised from the dead, eventually he would go on to die just like everybody does. They needed a Savior. The food would satisfy their hunger, but they would be hungry again in the morning. They needed someone that could forgive their sins. They needed someone that could take away their guilt. They needed someone who could become the complete sacrifice for their sins. They needed someone who could die to pay for their sins, then rise from the dead to be their eternal Lord. See, there was a multitude of people who needed Jesus. That's the first group. And they just didn't realize they had all those needs. Eventually, I believe many of them probably got saved. The great revival that happened in Jerusalem after the resurrection, many of these people likely did. They realized they needed a Savior, but at this point they didn't. They realized we need food, we need healing, we need a king. You know, there was another group of people, though. There was the people who needed Jesus, and then there were the people who knew Jesus. The inner circle of disciples, the ones that Jesus had searched out and called by name, they were the ones that Jesus explained the deep meanings of his parables to. The ones that knew Jesus, they talked to Jesus, they listened to Jesus, they spent time with him, they knew what Jesus liked and what he didn't like. This group of disciples, the Andrews, the Philip, the Peter, James, John, they could get to Jesus even when the rest of the crowd was held back. They knew Jesus. They had the backstage passes. They had the passwords, if you will. They knew where Jesus went at night. They could ask him questions after the rest of the crowds had gone home. They were a special group. They knew Jesus. So there was this group that needed Jesus, and there was this group that knew Jesus. And the other one isn't a group, but then there was Jesus. Jesus was the goal. If the people could get to Jesus, they'd be healed. If they could get his attention, he would open their blind eyes, he would unstop their deaf ears, and give strength to their powerless legs. The disciples had something special. But if you wanted something really big done, you had to get to Jesus. I mean, the disciples went out and healing people, but okay, there was the time the man brought his demon-possessed son. Nine of the disciples were there. Jesus was away with three of the other disciples, and the man came to Jesus. He said, here's the problem. My son has a demon. He's got this evil spirit, and this evil spirit is always trying to hurt him. I don't believe this is made up. It's not just a fairy tale, because we see what happens here. When Jesus comes and talks, it wasn't just this man had it in his mind, my son's got a demon. Oh, it really was. And when Jesus comes down from the mountain, you see what happens. But he brings his son to the disciples, and he says to the disciples, can you heal my son? And they tried, but they couldn't. See, they needed to get to Jesus. The disciples, yeah, they would do some amazing things, but in this case, this man had to get his son to Jesus. He said, sometimes when my son walks by the fire, the evil spirit will make him trip and fall into the fire. Sometimes when he walks by the water, the evil spirit makes him fall into the water and try to drown him. There's this demon, and he's trying to destroy my son. Please heal my son. Please cast out this horrible demon. And the disciples tried, but they couldn't do it. And the father was frustrated. Can you imagine what he was thinking? If only Jesus was here, he'd be able to heal my son. And then Jesus came. See, Jesus had been with Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. He'd been, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration now, because that's what happened up there. He was transfigured there, and they saw his glory, and Moses and Elijah were there. It was an amazing thing. They come down from the mountain, and Jesus asks, what's going on here? The whole story is repeated. The man says, I brought my son to your disciples and to cast out this demon. They couldn't cast him out. Can you do anything for my son? And then Jesus cast out the demon. The boy was healed. The man just had to get his son to Jesus. There was a time that a paralyzed man wanted to get to Jesus. So I don't know the exact way it happened, but I'm going to tell you the way I think it might have happened. He asked four of his friends to carry him to Jesus on a stretcher. So I can just see that this man's paralyzed. He can't walk to where Jesus is, but he knows I've got to get to Jesus. And he asks his friends, he said, would you carry me? Four of his friends, they pick him up. The Bible calls it, they picked up his bed. He was born of four, the Bible says, B-O-R-N-E. He was born of four. Four guys carried him. I'll call it a stretcher. They picked him up. They load him on the stretcher and carried him to the house where they heard that Jesus was staying. It's a good thing they got this inside information, because now they know where Jesus is. Now they can take their friend. And when they got to the house, they realized everyone else had gotten the same message. And the house was crowded. They couldn't get to Jesus. They couldn't even see Jesus. He was in the house, surrounded by people that needed miracles. And there was no way they could push their way through the crowd. The neighborhood was packed with desperate people trying desperately to get to the only person in the world that could give them the one thing that they needed. Can you imagine how desperate that mob was? There's one man who can heal my disease. There's one man who can make me see. There's one man who can make me hear. And he's inside of the house. I will do anything to get inside of that house. They couldn't even stand in line because I don't believe there was a line. There were people who wanted something for themselves. They needed something for themselves. And you know how people are when we want something for ourselves. Only one person can give us, and he's inside the house and I'm outside the house. And this could change my life forever. There's probably some pushing and shoving going on. That people were, it was a mob, there was a multitude trying to get to Jesus. The friends, they're carrying their friend, they just knew they had to get to Jesus. People that got to Jesus got healed. People that gave up and walked away didn't, or had their friends carry them away, didn't get healed. They had to get to Jesus, so they came up with a plan. I think it might have gone something like this, and I can't prove it, but I think it was something like this. The first man probably said, I have a plan. We'll get as close as we can to the door, then we'll yell fire real loud. And all the people will run, and then we'll get to Jesus. The second man said, no, that's not going to work. We'll limp up to the crowd and yell, leprosy! And then the crowd will clear, and then we'll get to Jesus. The third man said, those are terrible ideas. Let's just load him on a cart and hitch him to three or four horses, and then we'll charge the door full speed. We'll get there. The fourth man said, let's just sneak up on the roof, tear the roof off, and lower him down to Jesus with ropes. The paralyzed man looked up and said, that won't work. I like the fire idea better. Come on, come up with something good here. I don't know how that happened, but somehow they decided to lift their paralyzed friend up on the roof. They broke through somebody's roof they probably didn't even know. Can you imagine this? Somebody gets up, I mean, there's a multitude around that's like, please just get out of my house. Just, your house is already trashed. People are people. They're going to come into your house getting what they want. They want to be healed. They're not going to care about your house. So your house is full. Now there's somebody up on the roof. There's noise up there. And pieces of plaster start falling through. And you look up and you can see the sky. They're tearing a hole in the roof. They lower him down, maybe by ropes or blankets or something. He gets down to Jesus. And then what happens? Jesus heals him. They just had to get to Jesus. Okay, so there's the group of people that need Jesus. There's the group of people that know Jesus. And then there's Jesus. None of us are Jesus, so we're all one of the other kinds. The people who need to Jesus, let me read that again. The people who need Jesus need to get to Jesus. Okay, this is a deep statement. The people who need Jesus need to get to Jesus, right? So think about that for just a moment. So stop waiting for a better time. Listen, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to get to Jesus. You don't know if you're going to get another chance. You aren't guaranteed that you will see tomorrow. If you've been putting off getting saved, you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. You need to get to Jesus. There's only two groups. There's a group of people that need to get to Jesus because they need the healing that He has. They need a Savior. You need a Savior. The only other group is the people that know Jesus. So if you're not saved, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never realized I'm a sinner, I deserve to die and go to a place called hell, Jesus died on the cross, He paid the price for my sins, and I will trust Him as my Savior. You don't have to stop sinning to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You just need to trust that Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins. He is God. He forgave your sins. He wants to save you. Accept His gift of eternal life. That's what you just got to accept what He did on the cross. Trust Him as your Savior and then get to Jesus. The rest of the message is to the people who know Jesus. And the people who know Jesus need to get the people who need Jesus to Jesus. Doesn't that just make sense? I mean, if there's Jesus and then there's the people who need Jesus and then there's the people who know Jesus, then somebody's got to help the people who need Jesus to get to Jesus. And that's what this miracle's about. Jesus said, you feed them. The disciples said, we can't feed them. This is impossible. We cannot give them what you want us to give them. We cannot give them what they need. So Jesus said, have them sit down, bring those loaves to me, and I will give it to them. The great thing is, Jesus gave the food to the disciples, and the disciples gave the food to the people. Jesus gave the people that needed Jesus. He gave them what they needed, but He gave it to them through the disciples. So there's the people who need Jesus. There's the people who know Jesus. And We need, as the people who know Jesus, to get the people who need Jesus to Jesus. We need to stop trying. First of all, we need to stop trying to do what only God can do. Can you imagine the disciples? We can't do this. We can't feed 5,000 people with five loaves and two small fish. We can't change a life, but God can. We can't save a soul, but God can. See, we need to stop trying to do what only God can do. Let's stop trying to do God's work in our power. The people in our neighborhoods don't need what we have to offer. If I was to give what I have to offer, I'd be out really quick. I'd run out of resources really fast. I barely have enough for me, right? We just like everybody else, we try to pay our bills. We try to stay up to date on everything. And you're the same way. If you were to give what you have to the people that are around you, you would run out quick, even if you had a whole lot to work with. There's a lot of people with a lot of needs. So let's stop trying to give people what we have, and let's give them what God has. They need something supernatural. They need something miraculous. They need God-sized solutions for their problems. Do you know there are God-sized solutions? I mean, there's some pretty big problems out there. I almost said they need God-sized solutions for their God-sized problems, but there are no God-sized problems, so there's no problem. We just got to get them to Jesus. So we can't do it on our own, and we need to stop trying to do what only God can do. And then we need to stop, like the disciples, stop making excuses for why lives can't be changed and souls can't be saved. Can you just picture the disciples? I can, because I'd have been right there with them. It's not hard for me to imagine this. I would have said the same thing. We can't feed these people. There's too many of them. How do you expect us to feed them? There's only five loaves and two fish. How are we going to do this? And to doubt and make excuses, but then Jesus said, oh, I'll take care of it. We aren't the ones who do the saving and the changing anyway. We need to stop looking at what we can't do and start looking at what God can do. Okay, so there's only five loaves of bread and two small fish. Give them to Jesus and let him do what he does. Stop worrying about what you can't do and just do what God told you to do. Let's apply this. You can't be the dad you need to be. I can't be the dad I need to be. But God can make you the dad that you need to be. So dad, get re-engaged in your kids' lives. Stop making excuses. Be the dad you can be. Let God work through you and do something amazing in your family. You can't be the mom you need to be. But God can do something so much bigger through you than you realize. Stop backing away from your responsibilities. And listen, I want to encourage you this morning. I don't think we have a church full of people who are, you know, absent moms, absent dads, backing away from our responsibilities, but sometimes we're tempted to. Sometimes we think, God, I just don't know that I can do this. Stop telling God what you can't do. Let him do what he told you to do. God can do it. We don't make enough money to support missionaries around the world, but God can. So let God provide for world missions through you. This is an amazing truth. I can't give enough to support a missionary, but God has all the money he needs, so if he can give through me, I'd love to let God give to missions through me. We can't reach our city with the gospel because people just don't listen like they used to. And people just don't grow up in church anymore like they used to. And people don't answer their doors like they used to. And people don't invite us inside to talk like they used to. So we can't reach our city. Well, we can't reach our city, but God can reach our city. Let's stop making excuses for why we can't reach our city with the gospel. And let God do it through us. You can apply this in so many ways. Here's the message. There are people who need Jesus. And there are people who know Jesus. And I believe this morning, for the most part, I'm preaching to people who know Jesus. Let's stop making excuses for why we can't get the people to Jesus. Let's stop making excuses for why we can't take the word of God to the people. God can do this. Let's just do what God told us to do. The beginning of this year, first Sunday of 2019, can we just say, God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I'll be strong and courageous. I will serve you. I'll accomplish whatever you want me to do. God, I can't do it on my own, but if you want me to do it, I'm all in. God, I'll do it. I know you. I've trusted you as my Savior. And I realize that there's a whole bunch of people in this world that need you. And God, I just want to, like those disciples, I just want to let you use me to reach them. Could you make a decision as simple as that? Can you realize, listen, if you're saved, I have this amazing relationship with Jesus Christ. God is my Savior. There's a whole bunch of people that don't have what I have, and I want to get them to Jesus. Father, I pray that you would help us to get people to Jesus. Lord, I believe if we could put ourselves in the disciples' shoes right here, we would understand that they didn't believe that you could do this, but you proved that you could. And you know, sometimes we don't really believe that you can reach a city with the gospel. We don't believe that you can use us in the ways that you've called us to serve you, but I believe you can. And Lord, I pray that this morning you just help us to yield to your will. Help us to do your will. If you told us to do it, help us just to do it. And help us to trust that you can work through us.